Come home.
Come home.
Come
home.
Ye who are weary, come home.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come.
We welcome you this night in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to this worship service to share together and to come closer to our Heavenly Father. By way of one announcement, E.J. Brown had surgery and has had some complications, and so we would ask that you would remember him in your prayers, and Brother Eric will remember him as he brings the opening prayer this evening. For an opening song or scripture, let me read out of Moroni, the 10th chapter, which is part of our subject for today, and I'm just going to read two verses, 13 and 14. I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift comes of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Let's continue with hymn 242.
Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we have been so blessed with the abundance of your Spirit and for sending us good weather and for the ties of fellowship amongst us. And Lord, we would pray at this time that your presence might come and dwell with us again in this hour of worship, in which we would learn of your kingdom and learn of your laws and of your will concerning us. I would pray for my brother Mike that you would give him insight and wisdom, that you might be able to help him in the words that he would bring, that they would be those words that you would have him speak to this congregation. I'd pray that your Spirit would attend that which is brought tonight, and that all things might be done to your glory. And we would also pause, Lord, in this moment to remember our brother EJ, for we know that he is troubled physically. And Father, we commit his life into your hands. We know that you have been mindful of him and his family and have been with them through their heartaches and through their difficulties. And we know that even at this moment that you are with them, even now, providing them support and giving them a portion of your Spirit that it might comfort them. And so we pray, Lord, that be it according to your will, that he would receive your blessing in his illness, and that you would might lift him up and make him whole. We praise your name for the multitude of your blessings, and we pray that you would be with us in our service tonight, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's my prayer at this time that the Lord would add his blessing to both the reading and the hearing of this, his holy word. I take my scripture reading from the 46th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 5a through 9b. And again, verily I say unto you, I would that ye should always remember and always retain in your mind what those gifts are that are given unto the church. For all have not every gift given unto them. For there are many gifts, and to every man is given a gift by the Spirit of God. To some it is given one, and to some it is given another, that all may be profited thereby. To some it is given by the Holy Ghost to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he was crucified for the sins of the world. To others, it is given to believe on their words, that they also might have eternal life if they continue faithful. And again, to some it is given by the Holy Ghost to know the differences of administration, as it will be pleasing unto the same Lord, according as the Lord will, suiting his mercies according to the conditions of the children of men. And again, it is given by the Holy Ghost to some to know the diversities of operations, whether it be of God, that the manifestations of the Spirit may be given to every man to profit withal. And again, verily I say unto you, to some it is given by the Spirit of God the word of wisdom, to another it is given the word of knowledge, that all may be taught to be wise and to have knowledge. And again, to some it is given to have faith to be healed, and to others it is given to have faith to heal. And again, to some it is given the workings of miracles, and to others it is given to prophesy, and to others the discerning of spirits. And again, it is given to some to speak with tongues, and to another it is given the interpretation of tongues. And all these gifts come from God for the benefit of the children of God. And unto the bishop of the church, and unto such as God shall appoint and ordain to watch over the church, and to be elders unto the church, are to have it given unto them to discern all those gifts, lest there be any among you professing, and yet be not of God. And it shall come to pass that he that asketh in spirit shall receive in spirit, that unto some it may be given to have all those gifts, that there may be a head, in order that every member may be profited thereby. He that asketh in the Spirit asketh according to the will of God, wherefore it is done even as he asketh. And again I say unto you, all things must be done in the name of Christ, whatsoever you do in the Spirit, and ye must give thanks unto God in the Spirit for whatever blessing ye are blessed with, and ye must practice virtue and holiness before me continually. Even so, amen.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard, hope with a gentle persuasion whispers her comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Oh, for the sunshine tomorrow, after the shower is gone. Making my heart.
I'd like to thank and compliment the men's choir for the wonderful spiritual setting that they provided for us tonight. But I won't, because that'd be rather self-serving, wouldn't it? I have both good news and I have bad news for you. The good news first. Good news is that this is a short notice preaching experience for me. I just found out last Friday that I was preaching tonight. And the good thing about short notice preaching is that you get lots of scripture and less of me getting in the way of the Lord speaking to you. The bad news, however, about short notice preaching is that I've had such little time to prepare for this that I haven't had time to time it. So I don't know if this is a 10-minute sermon or a 2-hour sermon. I hope you don't have anywhere to go. I'd like to say, first of all, that the preaching that I've heard so far here at Reunion has been magnificent. Every time I've heard the men speak, the Spirit of the Lord has filled me and touched my very soul. I gained a few testimonies from this preaching, and I want to share a couple of testimonies. Saturday night, Brother Ed spoke about confiding in our own strength. And I want to tell you a little story about me confiding in my own strength. And you might not think of it as confiding in my own strength, but it was. Not long ago, I was at the farm of my daughter and her husband and my 2 grandkids. And they've allowed us to put a little cabin on their farm. And so we were cleaning a place off to put that cabin. And we worked all of one day. And we accomplished an awfully lot. We were cutting hedge trees out of the place for my cabin. And these hedge trees were old and gnarly. And some of them had 5 or 6 trunks out of one stump. Now, I preached maybe a couple years ago about hedge trees. I don't know if you know much about hedge trees, but they're thorny, and they used to be used as fences, and the requirement was that they be horse high, bull tough, and hog tight. And these were, okay? And so these hedges were, they were 45-footers. Well, we had 2 of them left, and we were going to cut them down early in the morning, and we went out to do that. And we didn't do it as intelligently as one might suspect that you would. Before we went into cutting these trees down, I stopped and offered a little prayer. I bowed my head and prayed that the Lord would give us His protection and provide guidance for us and keep us safe. And my son-in-law hooked up the tree to the tractor with a very short rope. And my daughter said, "I don't like the looks of this." And I said, "Oh, it'll be fine, because these hedges are all thorny and brambly, and they catch each other, and you can't hardly pull 2 hedge trees apart." And one of them was wrapped in behind the other one. And I said, "As soon as he pulls that one, the one that's cut is behind, and as soon as he pulls it off, it's just going to drop straight down, and everything will be fine." Well, he started the pull, and as soon as he moved the tractor, as soon as he had tension on that rope, that hedge tree rolled out from behind the other hedge tree and started right straight down toward him and the tractor. All I could do was yell, "Get off!" Well, he was trying to take care of the tractor and put it in, put it out of gear and get it stopped, and he knew his time was short and he didn't have much time to go. And he jumped over the tire of the tractor, and I could see it, and I can still see it clearly in my mind. This hedge tree hit him just before he hit the ground. The branch that hit him was only about 4 inches in diameter, about that big around, but my, it had fallen a long ways. And it hit him right on the back of his right shoulder. I won't go into all the details. He's had subsequently had surgery to get it repaired, and he's now in rehab, and they think that he's going to recover to about 75% of what he used to be able to use it. But for several days after that accident occurred, I was horribly tormented. Tormented thinking, I prayed. I asked for protection. We didn't get the protection that I asked for. And I kept asking, and I kept talking, and I kept praying, and I kept thinking, and I was tormented and tormented and tormented. And finally, in a still small voice, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "He lives." It could have been much worse. And he said, "He lives." And a little later on, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about "He lives." But it won't be about my son-in-law. Adam did a wonderful job speaking of the ordinances. Joe talked about the commandments, and Tony talked about fear, and Steve Bishop last night talked about God's truth abideth still. But when Joe was talking about Ebenezer, it brought to my mind another testimony, not my own personal testimony, but the testimony of my father. When my father was called to the priesthood, he was a very young man. And they told him that he was called, and he said, "No." He says, "I don't think you want me in your priesthood." And he said, "I have no evidence whatsoever that I'm called to your priesthood. So you're going to have to give this a little time. You're going to have to back off just a little bit. And let's think about this for a while." So about a week later, he was out working in the garden. And he was hoeing the weeds out of the garden. And it was a cloudy day, a dark and cloudy day. And he was contemplating this call to the priesthood. And all of a sudden, he said, the clouds parted just a very small amount. Just enough to let the sun peek through. And it shone through those clouds, and it shone directly on him in that garden. And he said at that point in time, he could hear what he felt was a choir of angels singing that song, "Come thou fount of every blessing." And he said when it got to the part where it says, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer," he said he received the confirmation that he had been called to the priesthood. You see, his name is Eben. And he knew he had been called, and it was a legitimate call. So I wanted to share those two testimonies with you. I've got another testimony that I hadn't planned on sharing with you, but I'm going to share it right now. I spoke to a man today, very briefly, while we were practicing for our quartet. And he sat over here and listened to that quartet. And he says, "You know, guys, last night I was sitting on my back porch, and your congregation sang that song. He said, I don't know the name of it. It was "The Spirit of God Like a Fire is Burning," hymn number 247 in your hymnals. And he said, when you got to that chorus and started singing "Hosanna, Hosanna," he says, it just lit up my entire soul. He says, I was so blessed at your congregation singing that hymn. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, we're going to sing that hymn again at the end of this service. And I hope and pray that at that point in time, you're ready to stand and sing "Hosanna, Hosanna to God and the Lamb." Now, our theme song for this week is hymn number 337 in the gray hymnal. I just happened to bring a gray hymnal along. I should have marked it. It wouldn't take me so much time to get there. "A mighty fortress is our God." Okay, we sang this last night. And I'm hoping that those of you who were here paid close attention to the words. I'm not going to read the entire hymn. I had planned to, thinking maybe, but I don't want to get into that two-hour sermon. So I'm just going to read the last two verses, because the author of this hymn, Martin Luther, left us a little bit of a mystery. There's a puzzle in these last two verses. He says, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure. For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him." And in the last verse, he says, "That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them," those earthly powers, "abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours." That's our theme for tonight. "The Spirit and the gift are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." And he never told us what that one little word was. That one little word that will fell him. We're going to see if we can find out. But that will come quite a bit later. One day, a professor entered his classroom and asked his students to prepare for a surprise test. They all waited anxiously at their desks for the exam to begin. The professor handed out the exams with the text facing down, as usual. Once he handed them all out, he asked the students to turn over the papers. To everyone's surprise, there were no questions, just a black dot in the center of the paper. I didn't quite get that centered, but you get the meaning. The professor, seeing the expression on everyone's faces, told them this: "I want you to write about what you see here." The students, confused, got started on the inexplicable task. When they had finished, the professor took all the exams and started reading each one of them out loud. All of them, with no exception, defined the black dot, trying to explain its position in the center of the sheet. After all had been read, the classroom silent, the professor started to explain. "I'm not going to grade you on this. I just wanted to give you something to think about. No one wrote about the white part of the paper. Everyone focused on the black dot. And the same thing," he said, "happens in our lives. We insist on focusing only on the black dot. The health issues that bother us, the lack of money, the complicated relationship with a family member, the disappointment with a friend, the dark spots are very small when compared to everything else we have in our lives. But they are the ones that pollute our minds. Take your eyes away from the black dots in your lives. Enjoy each one of your blessings, each moment that life gives you. Be happy and live a life filled with love. Now I look at this and I say, look at all this. The blessings, the gifts, the Spirit of the Lord, all out here. This is me. This is me walking in the darkness of my own shadow because I've turned my back upon the Lord. The light. And I cast my own shadow and I walk in the darkness of that shadow. And I don't look out here at the gifts. I don't focus on the Spirit of God. I was going to bring tape and tape that up so everybody could keep looking at that, but I forgot to get the tape, so I won't do that. Let's talk a little bit about those gifts. I read about them in my opening scripture, section 46, the gifts of God. He gives them to everybody. You all have a gift. I, like many of you, am still curious about my own. And I wonder about it. Someday I'll figure out what it is, maybe. Someday maybe He'll reveal to me what it is. But all of these gifts, let's go to Moroni chapter 10. Ten and 11 pretty much repeat what I read to you in 46. So I'm not going to read that to you again. You can also find those gifts in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the gifts of the Spirit. All of these gifts come by way of the Spirit, and it's the same Spirit. Let's talk about that Spirit for just a second. What Spirit is that we're talking about? In section 17, verse 8c, I'll read B and C. An apostle is an elder, and it is his calling to baptize and ordain other elders, priests, teachers, and deacons, and to administer bread and wine, the emblems of the flesh and blood of Christ, and to confirm those who are baptized in the church by the laying on of hands for the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, according to the Scriptures. Baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, according to the Scriptures. Now let's look at section 34C, pretty much a repeat of the same thing. Thou didst baptize by water unto repentance, but they received not the Holy Ghost. But now I give unto thee a commandment that thou shalt baptize by water, and they shall receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of the hands, even as the apostles of old. So we get that Holy Ghost. We get that Spirit through the laying on of hands of the elders. And then where does it go? Does it just drift back up into the atmosphere? Does it go back to heaven? Does it go back to God? Does it disappear like a mist of vapor, like in the wind? What happens to that Spirit? Let's look at Alma 11:26 and see if that doesn't help us find out where that is. Alma says, and there was no inequality among them, for the Lord did pour out his spirit on all the face of the land to prepare the minds of the children of men, or to prepare their hearts to receive the word which should be taught among them at the time of his coming. That spirit, brothers and sisters, abides in your heart. It abides in your mind, which is where your heart passes its love. But there's something even more important about this. I'm going to go to Mosiah. No, let's just go back to Moroni. Moroni 10 again. And we'll go to 15 through 18 this time. Now, this is the most important part of this spirit and gift thing, okay? Wherefore, there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. So, we find now that in order to have the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in our hearts and in our minds, we have to have faith. Or, in other words, we have to believe. In the sixth verse of the same chapter, he says, and whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. Now, there's that faith that we have to have. We have to know that he is. Well, we believe that, don't we? We believe in Jesus Christ. What are the things that we do believe in Jesus Christ, though? What do we believe? And what's important for us to believe? We believe he was born of a virgin. That's a miracle, a gift. We believe that he ministered for 3 years. He carried out his ministry. We believe that he performed miracles. We believe that he took upon himself our sins and took them to the cross and allowed himself to there be crucified, nailed to the cross. Not just put on the cross. I conducted chapel the other day and I asked the children about this and they said, well, they put him on the cross. No, brothers and sisters, they nailed him to the cross. He suffered. They scourged him. They beat him. He suffered. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They didn't just put a crown of thorns on his head. They placed it on his head. He suffered for us. That's what we believe, don't we? But what is this most important thing? What must we believe about Jesus Christ? All of the rest of this is for naught if we don't believe this one thing. And it's from Mosiah. It's from the first chapter of Mosiah. And it's from the 97th through the 105th verse. And it's very clear and it's very concise. It says, for behold, and this could be being spoken to you, for behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord omnipotent who reigneth, who was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth amongst men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptations and pain of body, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abominations of his people. We believe all those things about Jesus Christ, don't we? Those things make him our Lord and Savior. And we believe. But it goes on. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. Now listen carefully. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might cometh unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And even after all this, they shall consider him a man, and say that he hath a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him. And he shall rise the third day from the dead. And behold, he standeth to judge the world. And he shall rise the third day from the dead. We have to believe that the angel rolled the rock away, and he walked forth bodily and was resurrected from the dead. Therein is his divinity. Therein is all of Christianity. Therein is what we must believe. It's difficult. It's difficult. We don't know, but we believe. Perhaps I'm preaching to the choir. I know I'm preaching to the quartet. And that's the quartet preaching to the quartet. In studying these gifts, I came across a scripture that left me absolutely bewildered. It was from 1 Nephi, the 4th chapter, the 62nd and 63rd verses. I'll start with the 61st. Listen very carefully. Wherefore, the final state of the souls of men is to dwell in the kingdom of God, or to be cast out because of that justice of which I have spoken. Wherefore, the wicked are rejected from the righteous and also from that tree of life, whose fruit is most precious and most desirable above all other fruits. Yea, and it is the greatest of all the gifts of God, the fruit of the tree of life is the greatest of all the gifts of God. And in my little finite mind, I wondered, what then is that fruit? What then is the fruit of the tree of life? And so I had to spend a great deal of my time studying to find out what the fruit of the tree of life is. I know you're formulating guesses in your mind right now of what this fruit is, and that's good. I'm glad that you are. So in order to figure out what this fruit of the tree of life is, the greatest gift of God, remember, the fruit of the tree of life, I had to go back to Lehi's vision where first we find the tree of life. Lehi's vision. And it's in chapter 2 of the first book of Nephi, starting at the 44th verse and going through the 51st verse. And it came to pass that I saw a man, and he was dressed in a white robe. And he came and stood before me. Now this Lehi is seeing in vision. Okay? And it came to pass that he spake unto me and bade me follow him. And it came to pass that as I followed him, I beheld myself that I was in a dark and dreary waste. And after I had traveled for the space of many hours in darkness, I began to pray unto the Lord that he would have mercy on me according to the multitude of his tender mercies. And it came to pass, after I had prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I have ever before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. So there we find our introduction to the tree of life and the fruit thereof. It filled my soul with exceeding great joy. It was sweet above all that I have ever tasted, but it still doesn't tell us quite what that fruit is. So in order to find out what that fruit was, I went to Nephi's vision, in which it was explained to him his father's vision. And in the third chapter of the first book of Nephi, starting at the 54th and going through the 65th. And it came to pass that I saw the heavens open, and an angel came down and stood before me, and he said unto me, Nephi, what beholdest thou? And I said unto him, a virgin, most beautiful and fair above all other virgins. And he said unto me, knowest thou the condescension of God? And I said unto him, I know that he loveth his children. Nevertheless, I do not know the meaning of all things. And he said unto me, behold, the virgin whom thou seest is the mother of the Son of God after the manner of the flesh. And it came to pass that I beheld that she was carried away in the spirit. And after she had been carried away in the spirit for the space of a time, the angel spake unto me, saying, look. And I looked and beheld the virgin again, bearing a child in her arms. And the angel said unto me, behold, the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. And immediately after giving Nephi the vision of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he tells him the following. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying,
Yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men, wherefore it is the most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. The fruit of the tree of life, brothers and sisters, is the answer to our brother's riddle. It's the word that will fell the adversary. If the tree of life is the love of God, then the fruit of the tree of life must also be love. The love that he has for us, and that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He lives. Jesus Christ lives. And for that I'm very thankful. Amen.
You know, Brother Mike came to me a couple days ago when he asked about singing this song at the close, and I said it was already on my list of one that I wanted to use this night. The Spirit of God. There are so many spirits out there, aren't there, looking to deceive us. We need to know the Spirit of God. It needs to be a part of our lives. And so as we sing this song tonight, 247, hymn 247, let that Spirit be in your heart and your soul.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to sit under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to bring to our remembrance, Father, that your promises within our lives. And as we examine ourselves, O Lord, and remove those things that keep us from doing thy will, might we return to your throne with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and be humble to receive what our Heavenly Father would give to you yet, and to give you the strength and the power and authority to go forth to spread his kingdom. We are so grateful, Father, that you have touched the souls of each one who has been here tonight, and to bring to their remembrance how much my Heavenly Father loves you, and how much he would desire to give more to us if we would but respond to your bidding. I pray for your children, Father, as they go to their houses of abode, that they might have a worship experience with thee in their place that would unify them together, so tomorrow when they come to the prayer and testimony service, they will stand and pray to thee, Father, and testify of thy goodness to thee even this night. And I would give all the praise, the honor, and glory unto Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Please be seated.